One midnight when I was about 16 and watching the late movie with Dad, I started to nod off. He rocked my shoulder. "Listen up," he said, pointing to the screen. I propped up to peer past the bowl of old maids to see Mr. O'Hara, redder than usual, lecturing his daughter. "Scarlet, do you mean to tell me that Terra, that land, doesn't mean anything to you? Why, land is the only thing in the world worth working for, worth fighting for, worth dying for, because land is the only thing that lasts." I could guess where Dad was going with this. To him, land meant the butt end of the Canadian shield, north of north in the border country, where he was born in 1910 and raised with his 9 brothers and sisters. To me, it was a boring place at the end of a tedious drive that led to the Ledge Rock Lakes and the house where our grandmother who could cook lived. Getting there meant hours of driving over flat, non-scenic highway, with the worst stretch cutting through a vast bog that evoked the word gulag. Besides our small yard in town, Dad didn't actually own any land. The lakeside acres our cabin perched on were leased from the power company. The cabin itself was tiny, painted the color of a Band-Aid with damp floors and a scary propane smell, though the outhouse, Dad would boast, was a 2-seater. Of course, a working plantation like Terra has value, but the stony crust that passes for land in our wedge of Minnesota had never struck me as worth working for. But dying for? I returned his nudge with a kick and flipped my back to the screen. I could have cared less about land, let alone a neurotic tease who dressed in curtains. Dad died just a few years later. A dozen years after that, my son was born. Even when he was a toddler, it was obvious what genes had jumped a generation to splash in Sam's gene pool. He had my father's disposition and steady stare, and once again I found myself living with a short, territorial homebody with quick wit and hairy legs. After a person has a child, one's take on the world expands to include a notion of a future beyond one's own. As I watched my son grow, Dad's long-ago nudge began to fester. I reconsidered Scarlett O'Hara, struck by that last scene when she has the revelation about place and permanence and independence that nearly transforms her from a miss into a Ms. I didn't quite buy Scarlett's hammy swooning, but I was beginning to get the bit about land. My son missed out on having a grandfather, and he deserved to inherit something besides the gene for pattern baldness. What better legacy to unite one wispy-headed generation to another than land?